people of God. Please be seated. Can I get one of those stand thingies? Alrighty. So, Pastor Lowe has been talking about sweet spot for the last couple of weeks, and I am going to kind of take that and run with it a little bit more. And so, in this, the scripture that he brought out, and each time he's been talking about this, is that in Genesis 5 and 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So I got a question for you. And this is going to be my theme, and it's going to seem like I'm going to go off of this theme, but I will come back to it, okay? Do you believe that God will walk with you? Do you believe that you can walk with God? What's the difference? See, because it's interesting, as we were talking about this, Dwayne reminded me, you know, it also says, like, Abraham walked with God, right? Scripture also says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening. But it doesn't say God walked with them. And specifically when it talks about Enoch, the reference, I mean, it doesn't talk about Enoch a lot. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not. So hold that thought. Just kind of brew on that. Remember, that's the theme of what I'm talking about today. So before I go any further, right, I want to do a spiritual exercise with you that we actually did in a huddle. I was going to do something a little bit different, but Bert actually did this in the huddle. I thought, that's perfect. That's exactly what I needed. So, Bert, thank you for that. So, okay, do you remember the wave? You ever go to a baseball game or something like that and they do the wave? Okay, are you ready? This is very spiritual. Okay, so we're going to start over here. Okay, so when I point, you start the wave and it's going to go. Okay, so you ready? Go. Wow, such enthusiasm. Come on. Come on. There we go. There we go. Okay, we're going to start on this side this time. You ready? It's spiritual. Start. There we go. Now we're getting into it. Let's do it one more time. Come on, let's see how much you get into this. You ready? Go. You can give it a little yell too, it's okay. So you're wondering, Sean, what was so spiritual about that? It's spiritual because we show up at this place and we have a set of expectations. And anytime it gets out of those expectations, we don't know what to do with ourselves. And I want to break that down right now. Like from the beginning, I want to kind of chop on that and you recognize that just by doing that, if that was uncomfortable to you, you probably have a set of expectations around church that maybe God doesn't necessarily agree with. And we might be putting things in a box. We might be putting our church experience in a box. We might be putting God in a box. We might be putting the preacher in a box. You see what I'm saying? Because we have this set of expectations. Okay. The next thing I want to talk about is, do we understand the difference between condemnation and conviction? Condemnation, let's say in this context, is I'm going to preach something, you're going to feel bad, like somehow you've disappointed God, you're a bad person, you should feel sorry about it. That's condemnation, right? If anybody's been in church for any length of time, you've probably experienced that. I grew up Catholic and Lutheran. I think that's the modus operandi.
Yeah, if you come from certain types of families, you know, seems like guilt is the way you operate. You should feel guilty. Conviction, on the other hand, takes on a whole different aspect to it. And I want to read to you Romans 8 and 1. This is a very familiar scripture. It says this, and this is the New King James Version. There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, just as a side note, it was interesting. I was looking it up. If you have a Bible or you're looking on your phone and you read it and it was like NIV, it doesn't actually say that. There's a whole portion. They already took it down. I'm pointing at nothing now. It's not your fault. Okay, there's a whole portion on there that who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. That's not actually in the NIV version. It's not in several versions. And I was like, really? What's up with that? And so I looked in the Greek because, you know, that's how I roll. I got to figure it out, you know. Some people got that know me. And I think it's because of this word according, that walk according, right? It's a kind of an odd word. It really is. And so in the way it can be defined, I think it just messed with some of the interpreters. Like, I don't know what to do with that. I'm guessing that's why it's not in there. But it's interesting. There's two things about it. One is the word walk. And so if you want to take according and say in the way of the Spirit versus in the way of the flesh, right? If you want to say it another way, in the way God would walk versus the way I would walk without God. That would be a good way of understanding that. So now understand that this is Romans 8 and 1. If you go back to Romans 7, right, which is really the context for what he's saying here, Paul spends some time talking about stuff like this, which you should probably recognize as, you know, the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. The things I really want to do, I really don't do those things sometimes. And you're reading that and you're going, wow, Paul's just as jacked up as I am. But see, he lands here to go somewhere else. He lands here to say, hey, but there's no condemnation if I'm walking in the way of the Spirit. Why? Because this is a learning process. If you didn't know, you're not broken if you receive the Holy Ghost and you don't look just like Jesus the next day. Right? You're not broken. You're human. Right? And so the process of walking with God, right, following and letting him talk to us, and it's a growing process that moves us closer and closer to that reality through conviction. Because what conviction does, conviction should lead us to this really like Christianese word called repentance. Now, if you've heard me, I've probably mentioned this before, right? Because this is how I roll, right? I'm going to make sure we understand this because I think this is a hugely important word. Repentance doesn't mean feeling sorry. It might contain feeling sorry. In fact, in most cases, it probably will. But that's not what it means. It literally means to think differently. And the connotation is to think differently after something. Right? And so and so that's what it means as a Greek word. What it means in the context of the spiritual realm and what we do in preaching the Word of God is that when I'm hearing the preaching and God is speaking, it does something to make, causes me to think differently. I'm convicted about, wow, I'm not doing this the way I'm designed to do this. I'm not seeing this the way I'm designed to see this. I'm not responding. There's something going on with me that causes me to respond in a way that is not according to what God says is true about me. Repentance happens when the switch flips. Inside of me, all of a sudden, oh, that's not true anymore. One of the best examples that almost everybody in the room should remember is the moment in time you actually figured out Jesus actually loves you. Right? Because before that moment, you weren't sure. You knew you, right? You didn't love you. Why would God love me, right? And then you, wow, he actually loves me. See, that's repentance. Because something changed. So conviction leads to repentance. Okay, now you're going, wow, he really set this one up. So thus the reason why I also wanted to get up and do something different, because after hearing that, you're like, okay, what is he going to say next? Okay, so oh, I love it when God does this for me. He's like, here, preach this one. Okay. Hey, so anybody been part of a big family get-together? Raise your hand. Right? For those that didn't raise your hand, you do not know what you're missing. As a kid, you can get away with things you never could get away with. I can remember going big family get-togethers, and he reminded me of this. I'm like, really? You want me to share this one? I'm like, okay. You know, I had to be like 10 or 11, you know? And my drinking experience was very limited, right? And so it's a big get-together. You know, there's beer, there's wine. I have no idea. But they leave their cups all over the place. And so I'm like, hey, let me try this one. Oh, let me try this one. You know, let me try this one. It wasn't long before I'm like, I'm on the floor. Like they poured me into bed. I can remember the part where my dad picked me up, brought me to the car, and then I threw up on the car. You know? But you can get away with so much stuff when you're a kid, right? And because like they're watching you, but they're really not watching you, right? Because there's like so many people involved. And you have these big family get-togethers, and there's all these different types of people that are showing up. Some of them are like setting things up. They're getting there, and they're the ones organizing. And then there's the ones helping. You know, there's the ones showing up and like, hey, man, this is an awesome, great time we're having. Ooh, I love this. You know, there's food. There's you know, all kinds of chips and barbecue and whatever it is, right? Even at one time when I was back to New Hampshire where I was born, right? It's where all my kin are from. Had this get together with my cousins. And before we left, we're like, hey, let's do something. My brother was there, right? So it was me and my brother, and it was my other cousin. So it was pretty much all the cousins. There was like just a couple people missing. And so we're planning this thing, and they're like, well, you know, I'm like, well, so what do you want me to bring? What do you want me to do? And they're like, you know, well, what kind of Texas food? And I'm like, fajitas. How about fajitas? You know? And they're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Right? And they're like, well, what do you want? I want lobster. You know, it's Maine lobster, like right next door, right? So they brought the lobster, right? I went out and looked for fajitas, which was a chore in itself in New Hampshire. If you ever go into New Hampshire, they don't have spicy food, right? And finding a decent tortilla was almost impossible. But I got everything together. They were happy as can be. I contributed that. You know, they were happy. They took part of it. They're like, oh, these are awesome. And I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. I did not eat the fajitas. I ate the lobster. Right? It was a great time. Let me ask you a question. Are we a family? I don't know if you recognize this, but could you bring that one slide up? That maturity slide. But when you're part of a family, have you ever noticed, like, in that get-together, you got kids, like, you might have infants, right? Mom's carrying them around, pawning them off to whoever was willing to take them, you know? Because there's plenty of people, oh, let me carry the baby. You're like, thank you so much. Yeah? And you got the toddlers, they're just, like, getting in trouble, and mom's having to keep one eye on them all the time because they're going to find something to stick in their mouth. You know? You got the kids who are looking for trouble. You know, they're out there escaping mom and dad, having fun with each other, and you know, you got the preteens. They were out there going, "Wow, this is a party." You got the teens going, "Wow, this is a party." The young adults and the adults, they're probably enjoying it the most, them and the kids, right? But each one is really a different level of maturity, and they kind of approach it differently. And at the family get together, You have different roles, right? But the kids really don't have any roles. The babies, the toddlers, the children, they don't have any roles. Now, you might start giving a role to a preteen and a teen, right? Because you're like, hey, why don't you go set up tables? Okay, I'll go set up tables. But how many people have teenagers, right, that they'll come up to you and they say, hey, what can I do? I want to help. If you have one, please raise your hand. We are going to give you an award. What would you say, if you're a parent, you understand this. Would you say that when you see a teenager taking on responsibility like that, your first thought is, wow, they're mature? Am I right? So really, when you look at maturity, it's not how smart they are. I mean, they could be a rocket scientist, like in high school. You don't think, oh, they're mature. You're thinking, oh, I hope they're mature. Because they're going to college and they're 15. You know? But you don't measure by maturity by how much they know. You measure maturity by how much they engage in being responsible for things and taking that and actually doing something with it and recognizing there's something more than what's going on inside of themselves, right? It's something more than just, hey, where I'm at and what I'm doing. And that's the problem. That's the struggle. That's every parent's going, yes, Sean, I know exactly what you're talking about. I wish I had a solution to help do that with my teens. Okay, so I'm going to get you to engage, and I'm going to get you to commit, okay? I'm going to get you to engage and commit right now. And I'm asking you to humor me, okay? Humor Sean and say, okay, Sean. Because you did the wave thing. It kind of started out kind of pathetic. We were like, you know. It got better as we went along. And once you realized, hey, it was okay, some of you are like, yeah, this is great. I love this, right? So this is going to feel awkward. I understand completely. But I want you to commit on a spiritual level, right? Where do you see yourself at right now? Like, just don't put too much thought into it, right? If you're analytical, like, don't analyze it. It's just like, where do I feel like I'm at right now spiritually? Commit to one. Right now, as soon as you commit to one, stand up. Now, if physically that's an issue, like you have problems and stuff like that standing up, don't worry about that. But for the rest of you, I'm asking you to commit. And we will wait on you because we love you so much. Again, I'm getting you out of the box if you don't recognize it. Come on, commit to it. And it's okay. I mean, if baby is the answer, that is okay. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with any one of these. Right? You don't look at a baby and say, gosh, I wish you would act better. Right? Please, take out the trash. Okay, sit down. So on a spiritual level, wherever you're at, right? So if you said baby, toddler, child, preteen, right? This might not apply to you because you recognize I'm not there yet. But if you said anything above that, do you see yourself contributing to the family? Question. Don't shoot the messenger. If you're like, huh, Sean, why are you doing this to me? I would ask the next question would probably be something like this. Could it be the enemy has successfully kept you from becoming who you're designed to be in a way that you're not expressing this type of maturity? Might be church hurt. Church whacked on you for a while and it's like, okay, I can't really commit because I'm going to get hurt again. Yeah, it could be the way you grew up. Let me put this in there. If the picnic get-together thing, right, you were like in the EFG session and you're not contributing, just like in general, that's a whole nother level you probably need to pray about. Because if you, when I say that, I can say that. Where's my wife at? She's somewhere around here. She was over here earlier. She was over there earlier. There she is, right there. Okay, would you say, like, when you married me, I was like the least selfish person you ever met? No, she's like, no, baby, I love you, but no. Right? So I can challenge you on this because that was me. I was clueless. Teenager, helping out. Really? Really? I can't believe you're making me hear it. Right? Think about a teenager. Can you make a teenager want to help? Can you make a teenager want to help? No, you can't. Yeah, money. Money will motivate them to help, right? A paddle will make them help, right? Taking their iPhone will make them not want to help, but actually make them do something. But it doesn't make them want to help. Maturity is the expression of wanting to help. Not because you have to, but because your heart's orientated towards, I need to contribute something here because this is us. I want other people to experience a good time. I want to be a part of what we are doing. And so when you look at the spiritual realm on that, it really does speak to, do we recognize it is a problem for us not to be able to engage in this reality? Just letting you think about it. Because this is hugely important. Because by the way I presented this, do you realize that you're not growing in the way you're designed to grow? You're actually unhealthy. Because that's how you would describe somebody. If somebody is 55 years old, right, and doesn't want to contribute to what the family's doing, you wouldn't say, Sean, you are just so healthy. You are the healthiest man I know. You would say, wow, Sean, I love you, dude. You're amazing, but you something wrong. Because you don't see something that you're designed to see. You see what I'm saying? And so then the question is, why? What is it keeping me from it? What's keeping me from that, like as a just a natural person, what's keeping me from that? But if you go back to the spiritual, it's the same thing. What's keeping me from that? So, one question that I also want to ask you around this is, do you recognize, or let me put that one back. Do you believe you have something of value to contribute? Because if you don't believe that, that might be part of the problem. Because you don't recognize who you are and that you actually have something to contribute. Because I guarantee you, if you've ever been to a family get-together, right, and only Martha is doing everything, right, it doesn't go as well, right? Because there's only so much stuff that's going to get done. It's going to be mediocre at best. As amazing as Martha is, it would be helpful if other people, because the more people contribute, the more amazing it is, right? So just by the fact of recognizing, man, I've got something to bring to this that can make it better, that can make it, yeah. You see what I'm saying? There's something that you have that's uniquely you, that when you step into becoming who you really are, you bring something to the table that only you can bring. But that doesn't happen unless I'm maturing. And there lies the problem. There lies the struggle. If you remember those levels of maturity, knowing where you're at in all this is really important for you to be able to step into the process of growing. So let me say it another way. Okay, hold on. Just hold on to your seat. The last couple of Sundays, I don't know how many of you recognize it, right? Let me back up. I'm going to talk about generally what's going on in the church first. Let me do that. We have, like, the service today, like, the worship is going on. How many people feel God? Right? And it's like, isn't that why you come here? If you don't feel God, you can feel God, and it is part of the process, and it's really one of the things we're going after, because we want people, like if you're new here, you're new to actually wanting, you know, like, I want to walk with God, I don't even know anything about it, you're potentially a new believer, if you're a baby, and you've just been saved, and you've been filled with the Spirit of God, and God's moving in your life, whatever place you're at, there is a value to experiencing God walking with us. And so, because we have that expectation, if you don't know it, there are people praying, right? We've got a prayer team that are in this room right now. They pray on a regular basis. We got a group that meets on Saturday, prays. We got people that, when they come here, they're engaged in, God, we want you because you are amazing. And when you show up, good things happen. People experience life. People experience change. People experience you. Now, you might not be at the level yet in recognizing how much you could actually be the person that helps usher that in. You might not be there yet, and that's okay. Right? You might be like stuck where you're at right now. You might be stuck in a place that's like, I don't really know how to navigate that place, Sean. That's normal, right? That's normal if you're a baby. That's normal if you're a teen. That's normal if you're an adult in our culture. Because I would venture to say, you can go to most any church, and when it comes to the maturity level of understanding what I'm talking about, for the most part, it's not there. It's normal. But is it okay? Is it okay to say, oh, well, that's normal. That's what we do. Doesn't that create a culture? Isn't there a culture? So, because you think about it, you go back to the family. There's a culture in that family getting together. There's a culture in which, like we get together. This is how we operate. Now, if you have an unhealthy family, right, those that have that know what I'm talking about. You get together and you get to talk politics, you get to yell at each other, you get to get somebody offended, someone walks away, someone, you know, takes advantage of the situation to tell everybody what they're thinking, whatever it is. And if you grow up in that and you think, okay, that's normal, that's what you do when you get together. Right? Isn't that how culture works? And so you might have one person in the room that's going, this is not good. I don't agree with this at all. I don't want to walk in this at all. This is not my culture. But they'll stay because they love the rest of the family. But they don't affect the culture. Not really, right? I mean, everybody else doesn't just stop doing what they're doing while that person's like, oh, no, this is not cool. Now, but what if it was the opposite? What if, like, 99% of the people in the room had a culture that was healthy? Would the one person be affected? Probably. Why? Because they go, oh, yeah, this is not normal. No one's joining in with me in this, right? So in the room right now, there's a culture. You see what I'm talking about? So the healthier the culture, the more it affects people that come into the culture. Do we recognize we play a role in the culture? See, I'm not saying we have a bad culture. I'm saying in some ways we have a fairly normal culture. But what I am saying is that okay? My answer is no. Because it's not what we're designed for. You're designed for so much more. And you have an effect on what goes on in this room. I've struggled with how much to say, right? And so when he's prompting me, I'm like, okay, I'll say it. Okay. And I'm trying to do this as lovingly as possible because there's no condemnation here. Right? There is no condemnation. I am not beating you up. I'm not telling you. You are bad. Right? What I am saying is, let's be real about what actually is going on, and let's have a real conversation about this. Because when we admit to, oh, yeah, that is true, then we have the opportunity for God to talk to us about it. Then we have the opportunity to actually have some conviction going on, and we have the opportunity to repent. Why do that? Because we have a fairly good, like we've reached this level where we're operating in, and we are doing this well enough to where experiencing the presence of God, right? And so you can say, God's walking with us. But I would ask the question, are we walking with him? Because the last two Sundays, the worship is amazing. There's presence going on. People are experiencing God. There's a level of freedom and being able to worship. The preaching was amazing, right? It might be unique to me walking with Dwayne and being kind of like just understanding what's going on in the room, right? But in the room, I could feel the presence of God just speaking out. And people are getting touched by it, right? But both Sundays, and I mentioned this to Dwayne, I mentioned this to leaders, how it actually, I was pained in the spirit around this, is that as soon as he said, if you need to go, it stopped. Was that God or was that us? See, this speaks to how powerful you are. If you don't recognize this yet, as a son, a daughter, as a child of his family, you can be the teenager that's like, oh, time to stop. And he's not going to override you. See, if you think that the guy standing up here has the power to override anybody out there, you don't understand how this works. I operate from this, when I'm talking to you right now, I only operate by permission. If you allow me to speak into you what God's talking to me, it will do something. If you don't allow it, it's zero. There's nothing I can do. I don't have the power to impose anything God says. Literally, if you, it's like, just imagine, I am not comparing myself to Moses, right? Not comparing myself to Moses. But would you say there was anybody that was a leader that was any more anointed to lead than Moses, right? You'd say, no, Moses, man, he's probably the man when it comes to that, right? He couldn't make the children of Israel do anything. And his face shone. Like, they had to put a veil over him. Like, you know, he walked around with a staff that, you know, turned into a snake. And you see what I'm saying? I mean, and they walked behind him. The glory of God is shooting up out of the tent at nighttime. And at daytime, it's a cloud shooting up into the sky covering them. And they would argue with Moses. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, dude, whatever you say, I am like with you, man. You get my point, though? This all operates by permission. God operates by permission. That's just the way he operates. Why? Because he loves you. He ain't going to make you do anything. He says, come, walk with me. If you don't want to walk with him, he's like, okay. I want you to walk with me. You're designed to walk with me. I've walked with you. Will you walk with me? When we turn it off, we're literally saying, okay, that was good enough. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you, God. I'll see you later. Let me know how it turns out. I'll be over here. I mean, it's funny, but literally, that's what we're doing. So there's three components that I want to bring. So my goal in this, what I felt when those two Sundays happened, and when that's, it boom, boom, it stopped. I was like, oh, man, right? There's something wrong with the culture. That's the first thing that hit me. There's something wrong with our culture. We've got some good things going on with the culture, but there's something wrong with the culture. Two times in a row. And it was after the second time I asked Dwayne, I said, Dwayne, I feel like God's wanting me to preach about this. And he's like, okay, well, let's talk about it this week. And da-da, I'm here. Just some insight into how things work. But it was that I could feel it. It was tangible. I could literally feel it. And so the challenge it becomes is I recognize two things have to happen, right? One, there has to be a buy-in to what is my personal culture around this. If I don't have a personal culture that helps me navigate this space well, in the same way, if I don't have a personal culture in my family, right, I'm clueless of how much I'm hurting my relationships, right? We just deal with this. That's normal family, right? You got people that they just don't know how messed up they are. Just the way it is. That's normal. But is it okay? You're like, no. Someone who's mature goes, nah, it's not okay, but I can't do anything about it because I can't make you do anything. Right? That's how we deal with it. That's the reality. So in our own situation, it's like, do I recognize my personal culture has to be at a level that I'm growing, and then there is a maturity place that I reach where I can engage in the greater culture and have the effect that I'm designed to have? Because what we're talking about here is this, that when we have a great culture of following him, when people come into this house, they find the freedom to engage with God. And not just the freedom to engage in the worship service, they find the freedom to engage with him all the way to the place of repentance, being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit again. God's talking to them, and he's filling them up more, and he's engaged, and they're experiencing more of him and more of him. That should be normal for us. That's what he's saying, I'm offering you. I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. How do you get life? You experience the one that is life coming into you, expressing himself on top of you. However you want to describe it, there's a connection between you and God. And it requires my heart, the innermost part of me saying, God, I need you more than anything. I value you. I want you to see me. I want to interact with you. I want you. I want connection at the deepest, purest part. See, to me, that's the measure of success. So in these three components, we got three components that I really want to focus on. One's our worship service, one's the preaching, and one's what we call the altar call. Like, when I engage in the worship service, right, this is my definition of success, that I'm fully able to engage without being restricted by how I feel, by what's going on, by anxiety about fighting with my wife, anxiety about what my children are doing or not doing, whatever it is, pressure on the job, anything, that I'm free to actually connect, right? And I don't focus, can you bring that up? Three components. And I'm not focusing on, God, what I need from you. I need something from you. See, and this is like talking about maturity, so a little insight for those that haven't kind of discovered this yet, right? The focus isn't, God, I need something from you, I need something from you, I need something from you. Why? Because I already know he's not withholding anything from me. My focus is, God, I need to move to you. I don't need you to move to me because you're already trying to get to me. That's not the issue. The issue is me being free to receive, to connect, to engage. So that's how I measure my own personal success for connecting in worship service. And I can do it at home. In fact, you know, when I was younger, not so much, right? For most of us, that's the experience. Like, we go home and we're like, we can't wait to get back to Sunday service because we can feel God. But we struggle with it at home. That's normal. It's not okay. You're not designed for that. It's good to have a perspective saying, that's not my normal for who I actually am. That's only my normal from who I was. So I'm not okay with that, but I don't do self-condemnation. There's got to be a way God's moving me towards this, right? So God, you're actively moving me towards a better understanding of how to connect, of what's keeping me from connect, of growing more in you, of maturing more in you. You're moving me towards there. So just because I don't experience it right now, I'm okay because you are moving me towards a better way of operating with you. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not okay with staying there, but I don't do self-condemnation. You got to hold those two things simultaneously. And so when I was younger in this thing, man, there'd be days I struggle with it. I would leave out of church. I didn't feel nothing. I felt just as bad, sometimes felt worse, right? Because after the guy got done preaching, I'm beating myself up even more, okay? I understand what's that like. I mean, this is the version of you, or the version you see right now, right? Isn't the version that started out. You don't just, boom, get there. But what if you took that on? What if you said, you know what, during the song service, my goal is to fully connect with God. And if it doesn't happen this week, you know what, next week, I'm coming to fully connect with God. And if it doesn't happen that way, next week, I'm coming to fully connect with God because that's my goal. And I'm not going to feel bad because I don't get there. I'm going to take it as a challenge as, God, man, the enemy is somehow successfully doing something to keep me from understanding who I am, who God is, to receive that, to operate in that, to give to him praise, to give to him love, to go after him. He's successfully interfering with that. So God, show me how to do it because you are so interested in me learning how to be who I'm really designed to be. And when the preaching's happening, it's like, God, you're speaking. Now, this particular message might not be for me directly. I might not hear him talk to me about this particular message the way it's being presented. It's entirely possible. But I tell you what, if I'm open and I'm recognizing, God, you're using this time to speak to us, God, what do you want to talk to me about? What are you saying right now? Then it gives him the freedom to talk to you about whatever. If it's directly related to the message, you're going to hear it. If it's not directly related to the message, you're going to hear that. Why? Because you spent the worship service connecting already. Because I can tell you, I've had a very hard time having the preaching work the way it's designed to work when I wasn't able to connect. So I need to learn how to do that. Doing it at home, for most people, for 99.9% of them, is harder than doing it in a group. Why? Because the group culture facilitates it making it easier. See, so when I'm in this room, I recognize I play a role in serving you spiritually, even when I'm not preaching. Just by being in the room and how I interact with God, I'm able to affect how other people are able to be free to receive. I can't overcome what you need to overcome, but I can make it easier for you. I can bring the presence of God I have in me and express that into the room, and there to be more freedom, more presence, because that's who I am. That's who you are. This is what we're designed to do. And for us to have a culture change, we have to think differently about this stuff. We cannot be in a place anymore that we say, you know what, it just is what it is, you know? Or the enemy's convinced me, I can't do it. That's all. I'm satisfied enough to come to here on Sunday because then God's happy with me. However we're thinking about it, we need to discover what that is. Ask God, God, what are you talking to me about that? What's going on inside of me that's keeping me from becoming me? The last part I want to bring your mind to is the altar call. Specifically for us, I think this is where we find the most challenge right now. And so, as gently as I can, right, if we're not, like, God's not hammering on us right now, like, in the moment, God's not hammering on me, am I honoring the other people in the room? That's the first thing I want you to think about. Because if I'm standing next to someone and they potentially might, even though they might show no signs of it, because some guys are stoic, right? I'm very expressive for a guy. You know, you'll see me raise my hands up here, you'll see me raise my hands back there. But that's because I'm demonstrative in nature, right? There's some guys who are just stoic in nature. I mean, that could be just an emotional turmoil going on and they will be looking at you just like this. I'm having a bad day. I'm really happy. You know, because it just doesn't show up for them. So the person might not show you anything, but God could be like talking to them right now. And if you start a conversation right next to them, wow, yeah, I just said it. Did I just step on something that God's doing? I mean, it's not like evil, right? That's not what I'm talking about. But if I'm not mindful of these things, if I'm not even like recognizing, hey, God, what are you doing in the room right now? How do I join in with that? How do I, at the very least, if I need to exit right now, how do I not step on that, right? If I don't even have that going on, I could be doing damage to what God's trying to do. So that's just a very basic way of understanding it. I'm going to ask even a better question. If I was resisting the Spirit of God, would I know it? If I was quenching the Spirit of God, like these are real, you know, Christianese words, I understand. But if you recognize the scriptures I'm referencing, if I was quenching the Spirit of God, would I know it? See, because I could do that without even knowing it. And this is where it comes down to, am I following him? Am I walking with him? Or am I just kind of oblivious to it? Not recognizing what I'm not doing, not recognizing what he's calling, not recognizing what he's doing in the room. You see what I'm saying? So how do we create a culture where that altar call, we reverence that at a very high level? Now, what I'm not doing, right, and I come from a culture that's very similar to Dwayne's, right? We come from the same background where this is what I need you to do. I'm going to promote you just hanging from the ceiling, you know, rafters, woohoo, you know, ah, ooh, you know, anybody Pentecostal? Okay, you know what I'm talking about, right? It was awesome, Spirit of God moving. But I could tell you, we also had a culture where, you know, we would jump into that because, man, that's what's expected of us. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about doing it because that's what we do, you know. Instead of, like, sitting here quietly, like, give you an example, right? If this was Pentecostal 50 years ago, if you guys weren't saying amen every other word, I think I would do a bad job. You know what I'm saying? But it's not part of our culture now. You know? And so I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about fabricating something. I am talking about, though, how do we follow him and give him permission to do what he wants? Because you know what I know about you people? You want God. You wouldn't be at this church if you didn't. Because you would have left already. Right? You want God. You want to see him move in people's life. You want to see them, people get healed. You want to see people get free, to be filled with the Spirit of God. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God. But it's like we don't know how to do it. Part of the thing we have to navigate past is this. We have to figure out, God, how do I stop turning what you're doing off and assist you in joining with you, recognizing what you're doing, and actually walking with you on this. And there's my cue. I can't do any more than that. But I just felt it in the Spirit. He's talking to you. I want to do things differently just because I need to get us out of the way we always do things. So the prayer team is just going to feel after what God's talking and doing. And so they're just going to file in around and pray for people as they see fit. My question for you is, what's God talking to you about on this? Give him the space, give him the time. Some of you are tired. Some of you, I mean, just preaching, it just you get tired. You've been working, whatever, and you're like, oh, I can't engage with it right now. That's okay. We have plenty of Sundays to do this on. But what is God saying to you right now? Go ahead and give me some spiritual music in the background. Just, yeah, put it up a little bit. and just feel after him. See, each one of us is in a different place. Some of us are babies. And you know, I'm introducing you to this, and you're like, I just came into church. Wow, that's a lot, Sean. It's okay. Relax. Yeah, be a kid, yeah. But some of us are adults, and we're like, we recognize, man, I'm missing the mark on this thing. And it's not okay. Some of us are preteens, and we're like, yeah, I feel like that's what God's been talking about, but I didn't know I had permission for that. Wherever you're at, let him talk to you about it. And just spend some time. And if you need to go, the reason why Dwayne says that every Sunday is like, we're not keeping you here. But from here on out, if we made it a culture that when we go, we like hold conversations like way in the back and outside, and let God do what he's doing in the room without stepping on that. And let's see what God does. Let's see if we can take this to the next level. Let's see if we can gauge in new levels of maturity. Let's see how much we can grow, because it could very well be that some of the things that we've been wanting to grow in, this is part of the route to get there. So we're just going to play some music for a little while. You just talk to Daddy. If you need to go to the bathroom, like, there's no pressure. If you need to step out, there's no pressure. There's no performance. Just let him talk to you.